Hey guys, welcome to the Security Today podcast. I'm your host, Uncle Bear. This episode is brought to you by Sprinter Business Solutions. You can check them out at sprinterdata.com. Or I'm sorry, sprinterit.com. And we are back for another segment of The Room Where It Happens. So we're putting some time in on these segments. It's becoming more of a video podcast than an audio podcast, which I'm okay with. But we're moving right along, and we got another guest today, Benji Bolick from Bolick? Is that right?
Bolick, like you're licking a bowl.
Okay, Bolick. Got it. Benji Bolick from Asa Abloy. I should have asked that before we got on here, but
you're good. No, I can't tell you how many times like the school principal over the announcement, Benji Bolick. I've heard it all. So
exactly. Well, we have Benji here today, and Benji is a industry leader in the door hardware space. We'll get into his Door Hardware Nerds group and how you can be assigned to that and all the things surrounding it. But we're just going to walk through another segment where we ask about how they got into the security industry, what their story is, and then the importance of kind of the segment or the facet that they focus on within the industry, and then kind of where it's going. And that's what makes this the room where it happens. So we'll just get right into it. But Benji, thanks so much for coming on the podcast today, man. I really appreciate it. And why don't you just give a little bit of an introduction of who you are and what maybe role you play immediately right now, and then we'll go into how you got into the security industry.
Cool. Yeah. No. Are you kidding me? I'm excited to be here. It's not every day someone asks you to speak about Door Hardware for an hour or so, right?
Like,
I couldn't pay someone, or my wife would pay someone to have that conversation, right? Like, no. Yeah. So, Benji Bolick, I'm been with Asa Abloy for 5 years now. Actually in the industry for just 5 years now. So I still feel like a noob. I know I've learned a lot in the industry, and I've learned from other legends in the industry, and I'll probably eventually get up to that status where I learn more than I forget each day. How I started in the industry, is that
tell us a little bit about like how you got into it. And I did see, so I do a little bit of research before I get on the podcast. I did see kind of your LinkedIn career, and the things that you have been a part of. And I know that you had something called, a happiness coach? Was that something? So I do kind of want to know, like, let's just start there, what you were doing, and then how that, like, how that has morphed and what sort of things you've carried from that and how you've got into the industry. Asa Abloy.
Who would have thought? Door hardware nerd, right? The door dork came from like positive psychology, the study of like, you know, subjective well-being. I think in another life I was a psychologist, and a while back, probably, actually it's been probably like 20-ish years ago, I really got into self-development. I think knowledge is power, as long as you're able to obtain that knowledge. And I really was fascinated with the brain and how it worked. And I've always been a very kind of calm, very like almost reserved guy. But we've all gone through angsty times in our past. And, I found myself going through these low spots in my life. And I was like, why is this happening to me? And I just kept on asking the question, like, what is going on? Like, I was thinking, like, was it how I was raised? Like, was it like my father or something like that? Like, why was I feeling so down when I knew I could feel so high at times? And so I stumbled upon this thing called positive psychology, and it's actually a superpower of some sorts. You've ever listened to anything from Sean Encore, he's like one of the well-known authors in that genre. If you're in sales, you actually sell better when you're happier in life, right? Mm-hmm. You're a better husband, you're a better father, you're a better sibling, you're a better coworker when you are happy, when you're like self content with how things are going. And so learning little tricks to the trade of growing in like my personal happiness. I was like, ended up being like one of the most positive thinker guys out there. I would drive my wife crazy because she'd be like, why are you so positive all the time? I'm like, it's like, I can't, I've flipped the switch. Like everything in my life can be have a silver lining to the certain extent. Like, yeah, that's probably not healthy to the certain extent, but I find it's better to respond with a positive attitude than to react with negativity and end up hurting a relationship or something like that. So long story short, I don't have a degree in positive psychology or anything like that, but I've read over 100 books in the subject. I've even started writing my own book. Eventually I'll probably finish it someday. How to live a healthier, happier life. And so there was a segment of my career where I quit my job and I was a coach for entrepreneurs out there, trying to unlock their positive advantage, right? Helping them, coaching other entrepreneurs out there to unlock that happiness advantage, right? To take it to the next level. So
I think
that's kind of the rundown behind it. I'm a really jolly, positive guy.
I think that that's like super important. And I know that the people that listen to this podcast are oftentimes those technicians, those, you know, security individuals. But like outside of that, we are all, you know, people trying to grow and trying to live. And so I think that that's crucial. I try to do that, and some of the content that I curate for this podcast is just to like, one of the hashtags that I like to use is be the better tech. And a lot of times that has to do with the technical side of thing of like being better in that you're doing it more excellently. But that kind of stems from, you know, how you view yourself and if that positive switch is flipped on and you're out here to, you know, provide better to the world around you, then that'll automatically make you being the better tech, you know? I think that's crucial, man. And so I saw that and I was like, oop, ding, note. You know, I wanted to bring that up when I talked to him because that's kind of been my journey as well, too. Like, my wife and I have also had times in our life where we were figuring out who each other was and we were diving into some of the psychological things that you can do to be better to each other and better to the world around you. So, yeah, I think that's pretty critical. So how did that morph from, you know, being that coach into getting into ASSA ABLOY? Was it just like a random, like, I'd like to work here one day, or how'd that work?
No, ever since I could remember as a young lad, like the first door lock that I could touch, I was obsessed. I'm just kidding. No, like most people in this industry, I was introduced to this industry by someone that's been in the industry for a while, a mentor of mine. Actually, my father-in-law he still works for ASSA ABLOY, but worked for ASSA ABLOY at the time. But he was very aloof. He never really told us like what he did. And how important like some of the stuff and jobs that he was working on. And he's like, I don't want to bore people with doors. And, our family moved away from, Oregon, which we moved probably here like 10 years ago. And, as soon as we left Oregon, we knew we made a mistake and we're looking to try to get back in any way, possibility. And the opportunity presented itself. ASSA ABLOY had an opening role for, an end user consultant for door hardware. And I was like, what door hardware? What is this? A door was a door and a key was a key. And little did I know I was going to obsess over it for the rest of my life. I can't imagine myself doing anything else. But my father-in-law, he said, hey, I can get you the interview, but I can't get you to the job. And so I got interviewed, went through a couple of different interviews. And the day I found out I was obsessed, like I was sold on the industry, was actually my final interview with ASSA ABLOY. And after the interview was over, they're like, hey, we're doing a live demo of one of our security products. Do you want to like come check it out? And I'm like, yeah, that sounds really cool. Let's go check it out. And the solution that they were testing, this demo, this live demo, was a school guard glass built into one of our attack resistant doors. And so what the guy did was shoot up the door, the glass and the hardware with a couple different calibers. And then they set a timer, and the timer starts at 5 minutes, and the guy has 5 minutes to try to break through that door. And the idea behind it is, yes, this door won't prevent them from getting through, but it's going to give first responders enough time to get through. And there's this young guy takes this metal baseball bat and just starts smashing this door. He busts off the handle, off the mortise lock, and he's hitting the glass, but he can't get through the glass to reach through to unlock the door. And, you know, it was at that moment, I was like, wow, we actually do some pretty important stuff. If we're providing solutions out here that keep people safe and secure and alive, like that's an important thing that we're doing. And I was like, okay, I have to get this job. And luckily they brought me on, and the rest was history from there.
Awesome. That's cool, yeah. Man. Yeah. That's like you had a turning moment, you know what I'm saying? Which was like actual gunfire, which like some people are like, yeah, it just clicked for me one day. It was like a siren or a gun went off, you know, but for you, it actually did.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah. But yeah, so I know that a lot of the people who listen to this podcast are obviously going to know who Assa Abloy is, because they're such a predominant player within the security hardware space. But can you just kind of give us a little bit of a synopsis of Assa Abloy? Because I know that they're also like Pac-Man, and they've eaten a lot of dots out there. They have a lot of products. So what can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. Yeah, I always struggle explaining like what Assa Abloy is to like my family members or like my cousins or something that ask like, hey, what do you do? Like, what company do you work for? And like, if you think about it, Assa Abloy is like one of those largest companies you never really heard of. Unless you're like specifically in the industry, then you know who Assa Abloy is. But billions of people use our products every day without even realizing it. You mentioned Pac-Man, right? We specialize in acquisitions, and a recent acquisition, you know, it was just a small little one, a Kwikset and Baldwin, a $4.3 billion acquisition. just a little. That was like little one of the fruits, like the for Pac-Man, right? Like, no, that was a pretty big one. So, like, if I'm telling people like, "Hey, Assa Abloy," and they're like, "Assa who?" I'm like, "Okay, have you heard of Kwikset?" Like, oh yeah, I've got it on my door, or hey, I've got it over here, or have you heard of Yell? Have you heard of Sargent? Have you heard of Corbin Russwin? These are like these classic American hardware brands that everyone can really connect with. And then they start putting two and two together, and I start telling them like, yeah, doors are actually important. Can you imagine like going to bed knowing that your front door was unlocked? And most people are like, no, I could not fall asleep knowing that my front door was unlocked. Like, hey, doors are important. That's peace of mind. That's a good night rest. In my book, is probably one of the most important things that you can do for your health and sanity. So if anything, like that little deadbolt, that front door is pretty important.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And that's also something that, the podcast preaches a lot, is that, just kind of a little mantra of security is a mindset. And so if you can put, you know, Fort Knox on the building or on the home or whatever you want, but if the person lies in bed afraid and they don't feel as secure, well, then security hasn't gone, you know, that final mile or whatever it is that they say in manufacturing or whatever. So it hasn't gotten all the way to completion. So yeah, security is a mindset, to, you know, and Assa Abloy is out there with products that make sure that that mindset can be complete and that the security goes all the way through. It gets, you know, the job done all the way to the person's perception of if they're in a secure and safe space or not. So, yeah.
I mean, that's our tagline, is every day we want to help people feel safe and secure, like in a more open world as well. I think that last section is becoming more and more important, like accessibility and usability, right? Like how people interact with door hardware, how does it make them feel, right? There's a lot. So yeah, Assa Abloy, we're a technology company that specializes in door hardware and access control. And yeah, we're you probably use this every day in some way or another. And I couldn't be happier to work for such a large manufacturer, but also a manufacturer that empowers their employees to do stuff like this. Like, I'm on a podcast talking about doors, right?
Yeah. And yeah, and that is, it's super important, and it's also super important to talk about it just like we are. We were talking a little bit about this before we started the show, but it does feel like in our industry, a lot of times this kind of last link of the access control or of the security system is kind of just not thought of until it needs to go on the door. But from a door hardware perspective, from a locksmith perspective, this is a crucial point that I feel as if the integrators that are out there need to take into consideration, learn a little bit about, and be able to extend their reach onto the door so that if the customer is having a problem, because I can't tell you, I mean, just today, literally today, I was dealing with a technician who was on site of a customer, and they had had the door put in, and it was an aluminum frame glass door with a panic bar, and it was going into a center mullion that you could detach. And they had mounted the because the panic bar is driven by where the mortise cylinder lies on the outside of the door, and they had drilled that, the factory or the person who put it on, I don't know, but it was like maybe an eighth of an inch too far towards the glass, and so latch wasn't meeting the strike in the hole as well as it could, and you could kind of like give it a hard push and the door would open. So this is where, because we know a little bit about door hardware, we can say, oh, okay, they either need to replace this or we need to find a spacer for the strike to bring it out. But that's because we know door hardware, and some integrators are out there, they just put it on, and then at the end of the day, that door gets yanked open or someone falls into it and reveals to the customer that you can just give it a hard push and it opens. And they look at the integrator like, you haven't secured my property. And it's like, well, that's not us, that's the door. And it's like, well, you put it on. You own the door now, man. So you have to know a little bit about that. But yeah, can you maybe elaborate, like, from your perspective and like the role? Actually, tell us first what you're in now, you know, the role that you're in now. And then, yeah, maybe elaborate that on that importance of doors being in a healthy state or up to code, because I know you address that a lot in your content.
Yes. Yeah. When I got hired on with Ass Ablay, I was an end user consultant. So I would go to end users and consult with their door hardware. And I was brand new. I didn't know a lot in the industry. So I was actually learning a lot from my customers, right? The people that were using our product every day. Then the pandemic hit, and, you know, I was used to going face to face with these customers, and overnight, like, I couldn't, right? Like, I'm sure your job changed a lot. I know your job changed a lot. We talked a little bit about that beforehand. Yeah. But I was like calling on hospitals, right? Like, I was meeting with hospitals every day, and, you know, the pandemic hit, everything shut down, and life changed dramatically for me. So my role, I was looking for creative ways to not only maintain those relationships that I built in this small state of Oregon, but I was looking for creative ways to build new business relationships. And I was noticing that in our industry, there's actually a lot of people in the security industry on LinkedIn. And so I kind of stumbled upon LinkedIn, but actually doing my research and figuring out, hey, this is a good platform to start engaging on. And for probably the first year of the pandemic, I didn't even produce any content. I didn't do any door fails or anything like that. It was just engaging and like networking. And that alone right there actually opened up many doors that we'd never been able to get into within the state of Oregon for Ass Ablay. So like LinkedIn is just such a powerful tool in just the networking and engaging side. But then the natural step or progression was to create content. And, you know, content is key when you're trying to bring people to you as opposed to you going out to someone else. Mm-hmm. And I noticed we had a Slack channel at the time called Teaching the Rookies, and I was one of the rookies in the team. And I would ask questions on there all the time, probably more questions than these guys on our team that have forgotten more than I'll ever learn enjoyed. But I would look at a door and know, like, I don't know what's wrong with it, but I know there's something wrong with this. So I'd take a picture or a video and I'd upload it to that Slack channel, and the people on the team like loved it. They were like, oh my goodness, how did you find that? What is going on there? And then they would tell me the details about, hey, this is what's going on, this is what's wrong with this door, and go into immense details. And I'd learned so much from their comments on my post. And so I was like, wait a second, there's a lot of guys like these I call them the people like Roger Schmidt, right? The people that have been in the industry and have forgotten more than I'll ever learn, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of those guys out there on this platform. And so I was like, what if I did a similar thing on LinkedIn, where I'm like, I'm not even really sure what's wrong with this door, but I know there's something wrong with it. Or maybe I know this one thing, but I want people to give their opinion. Mm-hmm. And so I would take a picture of a door and post it. And people are like, oh my goodness, what's going on here? And I'd read through the comments, and people are arguing with each other about different code violations and what they would do in that scenario. And I'm like, wow, I think I stumbled upon something here. And I'm actually learning a ton from my own content, right? Like, usually the person creating the content is the educator, right? And I was like, actually, you know, Lori Green, she does the iGig hardware blog. She does a lot of like very detailed code violations.
Okay,
I read her blog all the time, and she's fantastic. Again, one of those persons that have forgotten more than I'll ever learn. But she would show a picture of a door and then tell you every single thing that's wrong with it. I'm like, okay, that's very knowledgeable, but I want to know what other people think. And so I would take a picture of the door and then ask the question, hey, what's wrong with this, right? Or dorks, what's wrong with this? And it kind of built this community, this culture that was surrounding these posts. And people, like, if I went on vacation and didn't post for 3 days, like, I would get LinkedIn messages like, hey, Benji, are you okay? Like, what's wrong? I haven't seen your latest post. What's going on? And so, long story short, I was in this role, and sorry, I know I'm just rambling on here, but long story short, I posted this video, and it wasn't anything special or anything like that, but like, it was probably a year into me posting content, and I get a call from the president of our division that afternoon, and I'm like, oh crap. Because I was thinking I'm gonna lose my job, because I'm an end user specialist, right? A consultant, and I'm doing digital content. Like, I'm not supposed to be really doing this, but you know, it was the pandemic, and I was pushing the boundaries a little bit, and so I thought I was getting fired for sure. but he's like, no, Benji, I love your content. What can we do to enable you? What can we do to empower you? What tools and resources do you need, like different gear to help you create this content? And I asked them, and this is always a very powerful question for people out there. If you're not sure what to say, it's just like, hey, if you were in my shoes, what would you do? And he's like, oh, actually, that's a really good question. Give me a second. Let's get a couple people on a call here. He introduced me to a couple people on his team. That led to an interview, and then I got promoted to the role that I'm currently in with AS Abloy. And it's funny, because I'm not in marketing, I'm not in communications. I've never had a background in that, but now I'm in digital communications. So I guess my official title with AS Abloy is Senior Digital Communication Specialist. But basically, I create digital content and share it with the world, right? To help spread the good word of door hardware and security.
Yeah, and that like strengthens, you know, the architecture, the structure to the industry. Like, if we're all siloed off and we're just doing our thing and buying products and posting about, hey, here's our new product, and it's like, oh, okay, I'll go get it. That doesn't like strengthen or kind of build the corners of the industry and make it something that can get even taller, you know? And so I think that your content is really important. I think that it's the kind of thing that you want to, so I'm big on Malcolm Gladwell's 10,000 hours book, you know, mastering it. And it's like those 10,000 hours are not just while you're standing at a panel or standing at a door, switching hardware out. That's like, it counts when you're engaging in Benji's, you know, door fail and trying to figure it out or listening to the podcast or anything like that. That's how you can really maximize and kind of 10x your ability to get to mastery level, you know, when you're playing with that. So I think that that content is really important. So I know that you have this Door Hardware Nerds organization, I guess, you know, that culture. And so, but you call it nerds, you call it dork. I know that's a hashtag that you use a lot. Can you kind of tell me, did you create that or did you stumble upon it and start using it? Or the idea of the door dork or the door nerd, where did that come from?
Yeah, so the door dork is my like online persona. That's like my like my go-to. Once I started posting on LinkedIn, I was like, okay, I need something that makes me stand out a little bit. And I was like, actually the name I got the name door dork from my wife. When I first got hired with Asa Abloy, we went through this intensive foundation training, and they fly out to each of our different factories. We spend a whole week there. We're touching and working with the product. We're talking to the product managers. We're on the line with the crew. And you learn so much from there. But on the weekends, we'd have the weekends off, but we had homework for the following week. And so my wife comes into the room, and I'm in my bed, like getting ready to go to bed, but I have a Sergeant Technical manual out, and I'm reading through it before I go to bed, you know, just some light casual reading before you go to bed. And she's like, oh my goodness, you're such a dork. And I'm like, dork, do you realize what you just said? Dork? Like that's a pun. And I was like, okay. So that's where the idea of the door dork sparked was the name.
Yeah. As that all started, good ideas come from the wives, you know?
Yes. Yeah, right. Yeah. So. Behind every great door dork is a woman that suffers.
Yeah, exactly.
The door dork is my personal brand. That's how everything started there. Awesome. Asa Abloy saw the content that we were creating and asked me to help out with this initiative that they've actually been thinking about for a while. And they were calling it the Door Hardware Nerds. Mm. And, during the pandemic is when we started the Door Hardware Nerds like podcast show. I was asked to be part of a segment on it. And, I was just kind of casually, showing up and helping support wherever I can. Mia Merrill actually, was the original owner of the Door Hardware Nerds. And she was like leading the cause, for this show that helped promote, you know, education around the industry. But we wanted to be a little bit different from just your stereotypical like interview type style podcast, and we wanted to make it like a little more fun, a little bit more levity. And so we created this show called Unhinged. Again, we're big into puns. The door hardware industry, we're big into puns and
dad jokes.
And dad jokes, yeah, for sure. So we created this show called Unhinged, and it turned out to be one of our more popular shows on the channel. We ended up having guests on from all around the country, all around the from the industry, giving different insights onto these door fails. And basically, I would take one of my door dork posts of some sort, and I would share it with the guests that we'd have on the show, and we would knock and slam on it, you know, like in a slam poetry kind of way. It was a lot of fun. So again, long story short, Mia Merrill actually had to get pulled into some other projects that she was working on, and left the door open for me to take over the channel. And and I never would have thought, I've been only owning it for about a month now. That's why we had to reschedule this originally, is because we're launching the group, it's blown up. I'm excited to see where it goes in the next year or so. Like who knows, like what the Door Hardware Nerds is going to look like from there. So Because you have a question.
So you have a support group on LinkedIn that people can join, right?
Yes. Yeah. You know, because if you are in the door hardware industry, you get that you need help for some of the things, right? Like if you like stop when you open up a door and you're checking out the hardware and like your wife is like calling you from down the block because you're taking pictures of it or you're videoing something like, hey, check out this. What brand is this? Like, you know, you need like help, you need support. And so we created this like support group to help, other door hardware nerds like have a safe place where they can share that kind of content and just stories as they go along. And so we call it the support group on LinkedIn. It's a LinkedIn group, but it's the door hardware nerds support group.
Yeah. It's awesome. I'm a part of it. I've been trying to win a hat on your hat giveaways. Yes. So I'm going to keep trying and hope that you just send me one. But I also did see. So, are you continuing the Unhinged podcast?
Yes. Yeah. Okay, so yes. That's going to be one of our shows within the Door Hardware Nerd. So we're going to have multiple different segments. What we are doing is expanding because we've really been very focused on the door hardware side of things, but we want to take a look at it from the integrator's perspective. We want to talk about mobile credentials, the technology side of the industry. And cause really it all comes back to the door and physical security. Like it's a big part of the whole security process is the door, right? Mm-hmm. I would argue probably the most important part, but a lot of people would say like, oh no, your VMS system's way more important than your doors. But anyways, like we're trying to bring it back to the complete opening as opposed to just the hardware. And so
yeah,
we're bringing in some new content creators. We're really excited to see the show grow and we'll see where it takes us. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. I saw I think it wasn't the last Unhinged, but it's the last couple. You had Chris Wilson on. And
yes, yeah.
Yeah, and he's amazing. I've known him for a little while, and he's definitely a legend in the industry, so that was cool to see.
Love Chris. Love Chris to death. Fantastic guy.
But so with your door fails, so you've been posting them, and people comment and kind of tell you what they're seeing wrong with it. What do you feel like maybe the top three fails are when it comes to these, you know, these hideous doors out there? And I don't know how you find them. I feel like you were kind of meant for this because you post like personal pictures that you're like, you saw this door. And I'm like, I don't even see that crazy of doors out there. So they're like, they're calling you. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's like they're beckoning you to come to them and take pictures of these hideous doors. But what are some of the fails you've seen?
Yeah, actually, people ask me that question all the time. Like, where do you get all these door fail pictures? And I tell them they haunt me in my dreams. I have a very obsessive personality. When I get into something, I like want to know everything there is about it. And so, like, I'm just constantly vigilant on looking for doors. Like, I'll be driving down the road, and I'll be like, my wife will be like, no, you got to keep your eyes on the road because I'm like, looking at a door that I just saw. I was like, wait, hold on. Can we pull over? Like, so no, it's like, it's probably not healthy. That's why we got the support group, but,
right. We're here.
Some of the worst door fails I've seen, actually, Chris Wilson, you talked about Chris Wilson. Yeah. I showed one of the worst door fails I've ever seen. Anytime I have to call the fire marshal on a building, that's usually, you know, there's something bad going there.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
this was a fire rated door. And for those that don't know, fire rated doors are supposed to be self-closing and positive latching to help prevent the spread of a fire throughout the building. And this was happened to be on the path of egress in a fire stairwell. So like this is like a triple threat issue of being a fire door. Cause if that door fails in a fire, it's spreading throughout the whole building, up the stairwell. If it's hot enough, the smoke is going through different levels. It's a big, big issue. So this door was chained open Like, it was bolted into the wall. It was chained open where it should be self-closing and positive latching. So it was, like, literally you'd have to take a sledgehammer to, like, get this out of the door. They were experiencing some issues with the electric strike and the latch. If you looked at the latch, they, like, shaved down the latch to where it was fitting better in the strike.
Yep,
so security integrators out there, if you're thinking about doing something like this, think again, get a door hardware guy on your team or partner with a local locksmith or door hardware distributor or someone to help you out, or just let me know and I'll point you in the right direction. Like, just don't do that to poor doors. That was probably one of the worst I've seen. Another story of probably one of the worst door fails in the world. that they caught before it actually ended up into an incident, because a lot of the codes that we have today are because of incidents that happened. Like, obviously, right. Anytime there's loss of life or in a situation relating to door hardware, that's terrible. That's horrible. And we want to prevent that from happening. But have you heard of the Luxor Hotel in Las Vegas, the Great
yes.
Pyramid with the shining bright light that you can see from outer space, apparently?
Yes.
when they were doing that job, they had all the fire doors set up. They had them all labeled. Everything was installed correctly. And then the painters come through and scraped off all the fire labels. All the fire labels used to be just like stickers. Now you see that they're like metal and bolted into the
right.
door because of a story like this. And, I forgot how many doors there were, like 3,000 doors in the whole fire rated doors in the, and every single one of them needed to be reinspected. And it ended up delaying the grand opening of the hotel, costing them like $3 million or something like that, because people didn't understand, like, hey, doors are important. That label was there for a reason, right? And so when they were doing their final check-throughs and the AHJ, the authority having jurisdiction, was signing off on the doors, I can't let you open with these doors. They're not inspected.
Yeah. I don't know about
technically,
that. Right. Yeah.
Technically, they were up to code, but, like, they weren't because they weren't inspected from
yeah.
their perspective.
Yeah.
So, that's probably one of the worst, that's a painful, just $3 million, mistake there.
Yeah. Sorry for scraping those off. Yeah. But yeah, you're right. Now they have a metal tag riveted to it. And, that's what you
but
see
people
coming
still
out of there.
Paint over those, or that people still unscrew those, or like, hey, it's messing with my, my door frame.
Right.
It's there for a reason. Like, just read the tag. Like,
yeah, they don't read it. They just get rid of it. Yeah. But yeah, those are, that's rough, man. But, yeah. Yeah. I've seen some bad ones too, but the worst I've seen is coming out of LinkedIn content. So I'm sorry that they're out there and they're haunting you.
Yeah.
But going back to the door hardware nerds and the segment stuff that you're doing, where do people find that? Because I'm sure there's people who listen to this podcast that would want the content. They would want they are door hardware nerds themselves. So
yeah, or even if you're a nerd in training, like it's a great platform for you to learn while having a little bit of fun along the way. That's what we created the channel for, was education around the industry. You can find the channel on YouTube. It's just the Door Hardware Nerds. We created the support group to help, other Door Hardware Nerds learn and network and engage. That's on LinkedIn, so that's the LinkedIn group. And then we have the Door Hardware Nerds LinkedIn page, which will help promote and market towards the YouTube channel. So the YouTube channel is where the long form content is. LinkedIn is where all the short interactable content is.
Awesome. Well, if you heard him, then go find that right now. Like, follow, subscribe, because that totally matters in the stuff that Benji and I do. So it really does help. But looking forward to the future, and this is one of, like I was talking about before we got started, this is one of the points that I want this segment of the podcast to address. So when we're dealing with hardware as we're going into the future, do you feel like there are major changes coming? Or I know that it's been a staple for a very long time, right? Ever since we've had doors, we've had hardware on them. But what sort of trends do you see coming out of the door hardware industry as they look towards the future?
Man, I mean, the future is so unknown technology-wise. It's really hard to comprehend what the future might look like. But I think AI has a big role in what the future might look like in security and access control. But if you would ask me even like a year ago, I would say like, oh, mobile credentials is the hot new thing. But like even within a year, mobile credentials isn't as like, it. Everyone has a mobile phone and you can use your phone to unlock your door, right? I think there's going to be a big play or push with biometrics and integrating with VMS systems and possibly even AI connecting all those together to take access control to the next level where your credential is no longer your phone or your card or your key. It's your face. It's your identity to a certain extent. And I know there's a lot of like privacy concerns and issues, but the industry as a whole is overcoming a lot of those objectives. And I feel like the younger generations are more acceptable to, you know, like, hey, I unlock my phone with my face. Why can I unlock my door with my face? Like, why not? Yeah. So I think biometrics with AI and VMS, like the video management systems, are going to be a big push for door hardware, which is funny that that's all technology, but it's all coming back to the door in some aspect or another.
Yeah. And I mean, it's funny because we think of technology nowadays as something that's like ones and zeros, you know what I'm saying? But back then, it's like the technology was the levers and the pins and the actions that went on in the door handle. And still is tech. I wonder sometimes when I look at it, and I kind of want to know what you think about this, but everybody is very heavily focused on the credential right now, and like whether that credential is your face or a card, or, you know, they're talking about OSDP and they're talking about, you know, readers reading just off of your Apple wallet as you walk up to the door and things like that. But I am curious to once that kind of gets shook out and we're dealing with a couple of different choices when it comes to the credential, and there's maybe like a pause or a breath to focus on the reader itself. I am curious to how long it's going to take before that reader kind of goes away off the wall, because it's still kind of there, you know? It's like,
yeah.
And that was the thing when we were running like Prox and Wygand when it was brand new. So
yeah.
What, like, do you have any thoughts on that of like it coming off the wall and maybe going onto the actual hardware? I know that Asa Abloy has a couple things like that, right?
Yeah, so the integrated locking hardware is what we call it. It's like a smart lock, right?
Right.
And it essentially, like, the reader is built into the lock, and the controller is there as opposed to in the panel up above the ceiling or in the VMS system or in the access control system or the head end or whatever software you're running. And so I still think integrated hardware is going to have a big role to it, but potentially the reader might even just go away. It's kind of scary to think about it, but like if you have a camera that is already watching your entry, or maybe the camera is built into the door hardware. I don't know what that looks like, but potentially it's already reading your credential, whatever that looks like, as you're walking up. And maybe that's what the future looks like. I'm not sure. Until then, we're going to be still using a lot of integrated hardware because it makes a lot of sense. There's less wires that you have to run, or it's completely wireless to begin with. There's a lot of smart hardware that's wireless, and you can even do real time access control with it being wireless. It's kind of crazy to think about. Like, we weren't that. I mean, when was Prox? What, the patent was filed for Prox in like the 65 or something like that?
Yeah, 60s or 70s.
But there's still people using that today as their credential. It's kind of mind blowing to think about. So Bear, I know you're a younger gentleman as well, but like, do you remember cassette tapes?
Yeah,
of course. Do you remember cassette tapes? Yeah. They were also invented in 65. Think about how far that industry has progressed. Like, oh yeah, remember when the CD came out? We're like, oh man. And I was like on Napster burning down like bootlegged music, right? Like that was like the height of like technology. And then all of a sudden, wait a second, you throw all of that out and you can just use your phone for all of that?
Yeah.
I think that's like, what's the next level of that within the hardware industry? I'm not sure what that looks like, but I'm guessing it's gonna be integrated in some way with technology.
Yeah, and it feels as if, you know, security lasted all that time before we saw these like big changes. And I don't know that it was necessarily in line, like it was because of the pandemic, but it did feel like maybe the security industry was like this primed pump, right? It was like a bunch of TNT sitting in a cave and the pandemic like flicked a match in there and everything just blew up and we're kind of left with what it blew away. And I do feel like these rumblings in the security industry that it's being caught up to, you know, like technology and security are kind of coming back into alignment and they're being seen and recognized even in adjacent industries from, you know, AEC stuff and from, you know, HVAC and from other things that like now integrate within to security. It feels like security is finally kind of like catching up and running the same pace as other technologies.
Yeah, I have a theory on this. The security industry obviously is very like risk adverse, right? So like innovation in technology and security, like it's taken a while for us to really catch up. And I would agree with you, the pandemic like really sped things up where instantly everything went digital, right? Everything went technology driven and we're like, oh crap, we got to catch up, like we got to figure this out, otherwise we're going to be left in the dust. And so I have a theory with the technology adaptation for the security industry. And it's just because it's an older generation. You know firsthand that it's an older generation. I don't know what the average security professional age is, but it's in its 50s. So the next 5 to 10 years where technology is ramping up like this and the people that like are resistant to change is ramping down, I think there's going to be this point where young professionals like you and I that are in the industry are going to be able to take over the world. Like, like that makes any sense? Like with the industry, there's so much opportunity because of that older generation being a little risk adverse. I think it's opening up a lot of opportunities for the security technology opportunity for all of us, right?
Yeah, I think that that's interesting because that seems to be a point of view that keeps coming onto the podcast in different series or different segments or different series of interviews that I've been doing. And I'm also a part of, you know, like a nonprofit that's got a Slack channel with like 300 techs in it. And I talk to other techs that are out there in the industry. And that is kind of this notion that, you know, we did kind of delay. And now there's a lot of people within this industry that are of the older generation. And you're right, they were risk adverse and they were taught to be. You know, back then it was more, I'm sure that there were like cultural influences about operational security and silence is security and don't tell the commies what we're doing. So it's like, you know, they kind of like were being fed that in their life anyway. But it's interesting because I do feel as if the pandemic kind of, even those people who were more risk adverse or older in the industry, after seeing the pandemic happen, whether it had to do with the pandemic itself or just what the industry did, they feel more open to it. I feel like I've interacted with people who have been in the industry for a long time on LinkedIn that have been more like, I don't know, like willing to accept, oh yeah, no, we should probably consider this tech or this tech should be here. So even with that eye opening a little bit, you're right. It feels that the generation that maybe, or the platform that we're sitting on and, you know, the late 20s to late 40s, like that kind of group of people are coming in wide-eyed, like, hey, let's change this up. And everybody above that is kind of opening their eyes and saying, well, we got to do something. because this thing is, it's merging to digital quicker than we can, you know, get a hold of it. And it's integrating with the entire system of the building quicker than we can get a hold of it. And so we got to do something, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, yeah. I agree with you 100%. But yeah, so, well, that's cool, man. Anything else that I kind of got through my questions on that, but I've appreciated the content and I love what you're doing. But if there's anything else you want to add, or if not, then just kind of tell people where they can reach out to you, because I know that you're super responsive. That's also a thing that I've been trying to do with the segment that with this segment, and the people that I get on it have all been very responsive, from, you know, Lee to Roger to a couple of other people that I got already recorded, ready to go out. It's just a responsive community, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, that's partially why I got into this, was to help the next generation learn more about the importance of door hardware and security, right?
Yeah.
I would say, if there's anything I would like to leave this with, is like, if you're dealing with doors or door hardware in any aspect or anything like that, get someone that knows what they're talking about. Hire them onto your team. This is for like the security integrators out there that don't like dealing with door hardware. There's like a huge opportunity for them to bring someone on that has the background of door hardware, because it's so complex. From different hinge types to different types of locking hardware, it's so complex. Like, get someone that knows what they're talking about onto your team, or partner with like a local locksmith or something like that to help you out with your installs, because it's going to leave a lot of less headaches for the owner, for the people that are using the product. I mean, how many times have you like pulled on a push door before, right? Like, it's like, if you just thought about it, like, you wouldn't put a pull on a push door, right? But yet this stuff happens all the time because they're not bringing in door hardware consultants from the beginning of the design project. And I think the door is the handshake to your building in a lot of ways, right? Like, that's the first impression that you're dealing with, and it can make or break an experience. It really can. Doors are important. Yeah. So, you doors can find me. Yes. Yeah. That's one thing you get from this, is like, doors are important. Don't just like, actually, there was a guy that wanted to start a fight. Here's another tangent.
Yes.
He's like, name me one thing that's more boring than doors. I'm like, what are you talking about? Doors are so important. They're life safety codes, like all that. But anyways, it was, they're not the sexiest thing in the industry, right?
No.
But yeah. But they're really important when it comes to accessibility. Think about ADA compliance. When it comes to the design or the user experience, like, good door hardware like can make or break an experience. Mm-hmm. And then life safety codes are so essential. Like, you don't, as an owner, you don't want the liability of that. But also, if you are constantly showing up to a building and you don't feel safe, you're not going to be giving your best self to that work, or you're not going to get that good night's sleep that you really need. So if you get one thing out of this, doors are important. Make sure you get someone, or join the group, and so you can learn and become that guy that knows more about door hardware, because it's essential. But yeah, you can find me on LinkedIn is my preferred channel, but I'm on Instagram. I'm on TikTok. You can just Google the door dork and you'll find me. So
awesome. You got your own Google tag. That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, who else wants to be known as the door dork, right?
Like, I'm sure plenty. Okay. From the support group member, plenty Benji want to be known as the door dork, but yeah, that's cool. Well, thanks so much, man, for coming on. I really appreciate your time, and I hope to have you again. And so, yeah, and we'll have to meet one day at some convention. Yes. Or something. And
Yeah. No, we need to make that happen for sure.
Definitely. But all right, man. Well, I'll talk to you soon. And thanks for coming on.
Yeah. Thanks, Bear. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on here. No one lets me talk about doors this long. So thank you.
You're welcome, man. All right. We'll see you later.
Bye. Take care.